this June 9th, 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle? Here. Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor Prus?
Here. Okay, it's time for our annual comprehensive financial report and audit. Ms. Bell, would you please make introductions?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I'd like to first start with recognizing our Finance Committee members. We have Mr. Church and Ms. Krukenberg. Ms. Krukenberg is online. Our council members are Cleworth, Ringstad, and Sprinkle, and our Chief of Staff, Mike Sanders, and, of course, me. I also wanted to introduce our partners representing our audit firm, Alliance CPAs. We have to my right, Ms. Cynthia Morgan, and online you have Ms. Kara Moore. Our other staff involved in the audit is in the room and will be speaking later on, and I have Ms. Katie McConaughey, our controller, and Ms. Sarah First, our grants and contracts manager. And with that.
Hello. My name is Cynthia Morgan. I am here with, on behalf of Alliance CPAs, to report on the City of Fairbanks audit for the year ended December 31st, 2024. This is my second year working on the city's audit. An audit is an annual requirement and a financial accountability report to the public and other funding providers. Audit procedures for fiscal year 2024 began in November with audit test work, focusing on testing of samples, transactions and payroll, accounts payable, cash receipts, and other areas, as well as updating our understanding of the accounting processes in these areas. Our responsibilities in performing the audit include forming and expressing an opinion about whether the financial statements are prepared in all material respects in accordance with U.S. Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or U.S. GAAP. We are also responsible for communicating significant matters that, in our professional opinion, are related to the financial statement audit. The accuracy and integrity of the financial statements are the responsibility of management with the oversight of those charged with governance. An audit is designed to obtain reasonable rather than absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free of material misstatement. This is because we are not examining every accounting transaction that was recorded during the year. We perform different testing procedures on selected items to develop our audit opinion. An audit also includes consideration of internal control over financial statement reporting as a basis for designing audit procedures that are appropriate in the circumstances, but not in the extent that we will express an opinion on the effectiveness of the city's internal control over financial reporting. A significant part of the audit process involved gaining an understanding and documenting the city's internal controls in place to ensure the accuracy of the accounting processes. Understanding the internal controls implemented by the city helps us to identify potential strengths and weaknesses in order to determine what audit procedures should be performed and how to best go about performing those procedures. And to give you an example, some examples of types of the audit procedures we performed include random and haphazard sample methods, inquiry with various city personnel, analytical procedures, direct observations of processes, where we would sit down with key control personnel and see how a process flows from start to finish and compare to internal control process manuals. Third-party confirmations, such as cash and investment bank balances, grant receipts for the year, and other state and legal responses. and the use of data analytics. We completed our audit procedures in May and issued our independent audit report on May 14th, 2025. The audit opinion report can be found on page A3. This report identifies specifically what was audited, management's responsibilities for the accuracy of the statements, and our responsibilities as auditors. For the fiscal year 2024, based on audit procedures performed, we issued a clean or unmodified opinion on the financial statements as we believe they are fairly presented in accordance with GAAP and materially correct. The audit report further states the responsibilities of management as they are responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of these financial statements in accordance with U.S. GAAP and for the design, implementation, and maintenance of internal controls. Management is also required to evaluate whether there are conditions or events considered in the aggregate that raise substantial doubt about the city's ability to continue as a going concern a year after this report date. In performing an audit in accordance with GAAP and government auditing standards, we exercise professional judgment and maintain professional skepticism throughout the audit. We identify and assess the risk of material misstatement in the financial statements, whether due to fraud or error, and design and perform audit procedures responsive to those tasks. We obtain an understanding of internal control relevant to the audit. We evaluate the appropriateness of accounting policies used and the reasonableness of significant accounting estimates made by management, as well as evaluate the overall presentation of the financial statements. And we conclude whether, in our judgment, there are conditions or events considered in the aggregate that raise substantial doubt about the city's ability to continue as a going concern for a reasonable period of time. We are required to communicate these. We are required to communicate with those charged with governance regarding, among other matters, the plan, scope, and timing of the audit, significant audit findings, and certain internal control-related matters that we identified through the audit and have done so in the letters I provided today. I would also like to mention that I have applied certain limited procedures that required supplementary information consisted of inquiries with management and comparing the information consistency to the basic financial statements. The city receives federal and state grant awards, and for the fiscal year 2024, when expenditures exceeded $750,000 in a fiscal year for each type of award, a single audit is required. In 2024, the city exceeded that amount in both the federal and state grant expenditures. In accordance with government auditing standards and the OMB compliance supplement, we've issued our reports on our consideration of the city's internal controls and compliance with legal requirements, with special emphasis on internal controls and legal requirements involving the administration of federal and state awards. The city is also required to undergo an audit in conformity with the provisions of the Alaska State Regulations and Audits Guide and Compliance Supplement for state single audits. We did not identify any findings or question costs for either the federal or state single audit, and these reports are available in the single audit section of this report. I would also like to mention that this threshold is increasing to $1 million in expenditures starting in the next fiscal year for the city. As part of our audit process, we have communicating the following information within our auditor's communication with those charged with governments. This includes significant accounting practices, including accounting policies, estimates, and financial statement disclosures, and internal control processes observed, significant difficulties or lack thereof, which was the case this year, arising from the audit. We did not encounter any significant difficulties during our audit. Uncorrected misstatements and material corrected misstatements as a result of our auditing procedures. The only material misstatement detected as a result of our audit procedures resulted in the city recording an adjustment in the MUS accounts receivable as they received the grant payment from the state of Alaska after year end, and the related accounts payable for $515,000 to Golden Heart Utility for the water main project. There were no disagreements with management. There were no other findings or issues arising from the audit that are significant and relevant. And finally, I would like to bring your attention to the communication of internal control related matters letter that I provided today. This letter indicates we reviewed internal controls over financial reporting to design our audit procedures. It defines deficiencies and material weaknesses in internal controls, which could cause management or employees to be unable to prevent misstatements in financial reporting on a timely matter. We did not identify any material weaknesses as a result of our audit procedures. We did, however, have some recommendations for potential areas of improvement around public works inventory to include written processes for purchase requisition requests, inventory purchasing, and inventory chargeouts, recording construction in progress assets when the services have been performed, and completing accounting procedures for capitalized asset additions prior to drafting the schedule of expenditures of federal awards and the schedule of state financial assistance when applicable. We also followed up on the status of recommendations we made as a result of audit procedures performed in previous years, noting accounts payable cutoff issues were remediated, and there were no adoption of new accounting principles during the current fiscal year. That is all I had planned. Does anybody have any questions?
Are there any questions? Ms. Sprinkle?
Let's see, where was I? Can you talk about the MUS account receivable? What happened? Or do I ask you? Do I ask you or?
The munis?
Who do I ask?
Hey, when I recorded the MUS loan payment, I recorded it only as a loan receivable and a loan payable, because I felt that at that time we either have a receivable or loan. We don't have both. However, the auditors felt for transparency purposes that it would be best to indicate both the loan and the receivable. And I agreed, and so I added that information.
Okay. That's just kind of a paperwork thing then. Okay, thank you.
So you made that change after 27 years.
It was a difficult change to make, but I made it.
Just asking.
It was either on the section that you saw it there or significant disagreements with management. So I picked the other. I had to pick and choose.
Are there any further questions for the auditor? Mr. Clayworth?
Are we going through the financials here, or are we just to ask questions at this point?
The staff will be going through the audited statements.
So we'll be going through the financials at a later time with staff.
Well, we're not staff.
Hmm?
We're not staff.
We will cover, we have Katie McConaughey here who will address the different audited statements. And then I plan to address the overall picture, the MD&A, and Ms. First is going to cover the single audit. So we will be covering the statements tonight in this work session.
Are you going to make that? Should we ask questions, or are you going to make? Is somebody going to make a presentation?
Yes, someone will be addressing the statements. But I didn't know if you have any further questions of the auditor.
No.
Any other questions? Thank you. Next up is Ms. Bell.
Hey.
The audit summary.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Morgan. Okay, if you'll turn with me to the financial section of your audit books. And if Ms. Burson, Ms. McConaughey, you can join us. Okay, if you turn to the financial section, you'll see that A1 just kind of gives you the information about this particular section. The auditor referred to A3, which is the independent auditor's report. And if you move past that page, I'm going to be covering information in what we call the management discussion and analysis section of your audit book. And that's going to start with M-1. Okay, and I just wanted to just point out at this point financial highlights that you can read at a later date that just kind of summarizes all of the information that's within your audit book. But I would like for us to begin with the governmental section. Well, before I do that, if you can turn to M5, I just want to point out a couple of numbers on that page. And you'll see at the bottom where it says net position ending. And if you go to the far corner of total, and it'll show you the total for 2023 is $315,258,657. That was for 2023. And in 2024, that number is $315,707,936. And this is what the city would look like as a business. It's not the way that we normally present our financial information. We present it on a governmental level, but this is if you brought in all of our equipment, the value of all of our properties, that is the value of the city. So I just wanted to point that number out to you. Now, if we can go with me on M6, we'll start talking about the funds and overall and the governmental funds overall. And the next section you'll see, it says governmental funds dash fund balance. This is the fund balance of all funds within the city. And Ms. McConaughey is going to cover, you know, the details of this, but I'm just giving you the big overview of this. This number, the amount in our fund balance for all governmental funds is $191,526,061. But almost 80% of that is from your permanent fund, which was $150.9 million at the end of the year. So that gives you a feel for what the fund balance looks like. If you go down a little bit further, we're talking about the general fund. That other chart that you see down there, it says general fund dash fund balance. So at the end of the year, we had a decrease and our general fund balance from $20.5 million to $19.5 million. And the primary reason for that decrease was our transfer from the general fund. Last year, we transferred about $7.5 million. Some of it is required by code, and some of it was to send funds to the capital fund to cover the expenditures that we knew we were having at that time. And that loss was offset by the permanent fund draw. So that just shows how that permanent fund comes in and assists us in keeping our fund balance, you know, at a good level. If you'll flip with me to page M-7. And it's on the top section. We're looking at the general fund revenues. You'll note that our revenues in comparison to 2023 was up by $1.67 million. It went from $41.7 to $43.3 million. The reason for that was we had the increases in taxes. That was the change from 8% to 20% for tobacco tax. The other increase you'll see is under intergovernmental. We receive additional funds and the Supplemental Emergency Management Transportation, or SEMT funds. So that is the reason why you're seeing that. And other funds, will you see that increase there? of 424.14, that's the column I'm looking at. That is primarily due to interest income, is what you're seeing the results of that. If you go further down to the second section where it says general fund expenditures, you'll see that from 2023 to 2024, we went from 40.9 million, close to 41 million, to 42.9 million in expenditure. That was a 1.9 million increase. And your biggest reason for that increase is under public safety, was where your increases occurred at the 1.2 million, followed by public works, which includes your public works, your engineering department. The permanent fund, as we mentioned earlier, ended. And I'm just hitting some of these bullet points on some of the other funds. Ended at $150.9 million. This was an increase of $9.2 million from the prior year. On your grants and contracts fund, this is mainly due to asset forfeiture funds. We had a decrease in that, and that was due to, you know, law enforcement equipment we purchased in 2024. Your capital fund had a total fund balance of $21.3 million, and this was an increase of 2.3. So even though you transferred over $6 million into that fund, we're only seeing a 2.3 increase. So it shows you how much we are expending in that fund. And if you turn to M8 on the top section of the Risk Special Revenue Fund, you'll see that it ended the year with a negative balance of $316,977. And that is because of the lag and the receipt of the mill levy. You know, the property taxes, there's that lag. So that's why you have that. And just some quick highlights under the general fund budgetary before I turn this over to Ms. McConaughey. The difference between the original budget and total revenues was 1.86. So that means that our original budget versus the final amended, I should say, was an increase of 1.8. And that was mainly due, it was across the board, and it was mainly due to our taxes and room rental, the higher average room rental rates we saw in 24. That was the reason for that. And then, of course, the community assistance was higher than we had budgeted. And we're going to see that again this year. And we had the interest income is still coming in again, slightly higher. And the original budget versus our total expenditure was 2.374 increase million. And it just kind of was due to, you know, staffing requirements. We had some collective bargaining agreements that came into place, and there were some additional positions that we add throughout the year. So that was the reason from our original to our amended budget. Regarding our fund balance, we're required to have at least a greater of 20% of operational expenditures are $10 million, and that would give us like a 9.63 or $10 million, and we were above that unassigned fund balance at the end of the year. And some final points I wanted to bring out on page M9, just on your capital assets. If you look at that chart that has capital asset net of depreciation and amortization, you go to that far end column, looking at the 2023 and 2024 column, you'll see that our capital assets increased by 2.4 million, almost a 1.8%. And further down on our long-term liabilities, they're very close. You know, it's a change and increase in long-term by 2.4 million. And on long-term from, if you go to that end of that column, from 21.7 to 24.2. And that concludes my summary of the audit.
Seeing none, next up is Katie McConaughey, audited statements.
Hello. If you go into the statements on page 9 is where I'll start with the general fund balance sheet. Page 9, yes. You'll see the different funds. We have the general fund, the permanent fund, grants and contracts, capital, and the risk fund. The general fund, we ended with an unassigned fund balance of just over $19 million. We're required to keep at least $10 million in there at all times, or 20% of our budgeted expenditures. So we were over that amount by just about $9 million. So that was exciting. If you flip over to page 13, you'll see the revenue and expenditures for the year. On the general fund, we had revenues over expenditures of about $500,000 before any transfers. Once those transfers came into play, we ended up with a loss in the general fund of $962,000. If you turn over, keep going, you'll start to get into the notes of the financials. These help give you some more details on the different numbers. On page 32, it goes into the permanent fund. It gives you a breakdown of the different amounts that are invested in the permanent fund.
What page is that again?
Sorry, page 32.
32? Okay, thank you.
So you'll see the different breakdowns of what we have in equity funds, governmental securities, bonds. You want to look at those. On page 53, it gives the breakdown of the permanent fund. In 2024, we had revenues of $14.8 million, which was down slightly from 2023. We had $16.8 million, but overall still pretty good. On page 58, it gives the 10-year span of our shared net pension liability. In 2024, our share of the pension liability was $16.5 million, which was down slightly from 2023. A lot of it has to do with market, and we pay into it a little bit to bring that share down.
That is what the state has on the books for the city of Fairbanks.
Correct.
For a liability that was stopped in 2006. That's where we're at now.
Correct.
So we still owe $16,455,746.
Yes.
On that. That we've been paying for the last 20 years.
Yes.
Just thought I'd put that into the record. Thank you. Ms. Sprinkle.
Just a crazy question. So if we felt like getting out of this situation and we just said, let's pay $16.4 million and pay our portion of it, does the state then stop asking for money, or is there some additional obligation that we would continue to be billed for? I just don't know how that operates. If we just wanted to say we're done, we're finished with you. Is that a thing?
You know, that's a great question. I'm sure it's very complicated, and if I gave an answer, I don't think it'd be 100% right, because you not only have that, but you also have to push an additional amount for future liability.
Which we don't know yet.
Exactly.
But I didn't know if we were getting charged interest rates on this stuff that we...
It grows at 0.5% per year, approximately.
That's insane. Okay. Thank you.
So that's from our defined benefit.
Correct.
Thank you. And over the, if you look at its growth or lack thereof from 2015 to now, it's gone up a million, but it's fluctuated.
Mainly due to market changes, but yes, it fluctuates.
Sometimes they do well through investments, sometimes not so much.
The last section, I'll just kind of give a quick overview, is the statistical section. You'll find financial trends, demographic information, and operating information over the last 10 years. Page ST24 kind of gives a big overview of the number of calls, dispatches taken in, police, fire, public works, and it gives you a 10-year stretch.
What page is that on again?
ST24 in the statistical section.
Thank you.
And we're kind of running low on time, so I will hand it over to Sarah.
Let's see. We've been through M's, A's.
There's a lot of pages.
ST's. Okay, so Sarah.
Yes, I guess I am.
All right, hold it. Are there any questions for Katie? My thought is, counsel, this is a pretty comprehensive book, and maybe over the next couple of weeks, study it individually, and then we can have a second work session with our finance people here with questions you may have. Sarah.
Okay. I'm going to go over with you the single audit section. So if you go to the last section in your book, that's where we're going to start off. Cynthia touched on this a little bit, but we have both a federal single audit and a state single audit. So we're required to have both of those because we had $750,000 worth of expenditures over that for 2024. So that requires us to have both the federal and the state single audit. If you would turn to page SA10, that is going to show you the schedule of expenditures of federal awards. So we commonly refer to that as the CFA. On SA 11, you'll see there that our grand total federal financial assistance, federal expenditures for 2024 was $4.7 million. So this report here that you see breaks down all of the different awards that we have that are federally funded by the different federal departments, and it'll also tell you if it's passed through other state departments to us or if they are direct programs. The two major programs that the auditors determined to be major was the Federal Year 2023 Community Project Funding Grant, and that is at the top of page SA10. And on the top of SA11, the other major program was the COVID-19 Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund. The Community Project Funding Grant is a little unique because that award is actually granted to the North Star Council on Aging, so you'll see that it's passed through from them to us. That award was for renovation of the senior center building, and because we own that building, we're receiving that benefit, so we have to report it here. The Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, we commonly refer to that as ARPA funds, and this will be the last year that you see that on this CFA, so we have closed that out at this time. And if you go to page SA13, that is going to show you the summary of the auditor's results for the federal single audit. So we did receive an unmodified opinion with no findings, and that's exactly what we want to see. The next schedule that I'll take you to is SA22, on page SA22. This is the schedule of state financial assistance. So this is very similar to the schedule we just looked at on the federal side, except for this is showing you all of our state financial assistance. So in total, we had $3.3 million worth of state expenditures, and the major programs on the state side were the designated legislative grant program. We had $2.3 million in state expenditures for that grant, and that is for the abatement work on the Polaris Tower. The other major program was the Alaska Clean Water Fund water main project. And you'll see that that is passed through to subrecipients because that amount goes directly to GHU. And I'll take you to page SA24. And that is going to show you that we have an unmodified opinion on that state schedule with no findings. And again, that's exactly what we want to see. That's what I have for you.
So you said we are required to do both a state and a federal audit?
Yes.
Now, am I right to assume that's a bad thing to do usually, but the state audits the state grants, the federal audit audits the federal, there's really not any overlap there.
Correct.
Okay. Just make sure I was understanding what we were doing there. Thank you.
I'm going to apologize. I'm going to backtrack a little bit if I can to page 5.
SA 5?
Just 5.
Oh, 5. That's way back.
Basic financials. Under the asset column, we're showing the depreciable net of accumulated depreciation at $110,000. I'm assuming that that number includes buildings, equipment, and does it include roads?
Yes.
And when you depreciate a road, how do you do that?
What is the life of the road?
If you turn, Mr. Cleaver, if you will go to page 37, we kind of show breakout what that number entails on page 37. And we talk about on page 28 the life, and we depreciate that over 30 years for infrastructure.
So it's a straight line depreciation on the original cost?
Yes, it is. For the some of the roads is on historical cost because when we initially brought in roads into our financial statements, we did not know what the cost of it was because it was something that was done over years. So we had to bring it in with what the value was at that time. And as the roads are replaced through, you know, major construction projects, we bring in the actual cost of it and depreciate it over a straight line over 30 years.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Cleaver?
No, I appreciate that. I noticed that is this number been going down, up, or sideways, or do you know?
It's gone down just a little bit. If you turn to that page 37, you'll see at the beginning of the beginning balance, if we were looking at it, we presented for both what we call governmental. If you look at the governmental activities, capital assets net, you'll see that we have a beginning balance of $130 million, and then we're bringing in increases of 5.6, but we're also decreasing that number by 2.8, whether it's fully depreciating an asset, whether we're selling the asset or whether we're moving it from construction in progress into an asset that is depreciable. And then you can see that ending balance is net of 132. But if you look at that total capital asset being depreciation net, that you can see those numbers that are reflected on the front of your statements.
How do you segregate a governmental activity from a business activity? What's the criteria for that?
We consider business activity within a governmental that is very similar to what you would find in your business world. So, for example, our business activities are a parking garage in the MUS, park.
Wastewater plant.
Yes. So we consider those like proprietary funds, which are more acting like a business.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you required to do this under GASB or whatever we call it?
Yes, we are required under GASB.
So I'm just curious because Jerry's asked the question about depreciating roads. Where in this are you showing the depreciation of our city roads?
It's under infrastructure.
So that could be anything. That could be road or a sidewalk or a building or...
No, your buildings are identified separately,
okay,
as well as your equipment.
So infrastructure means roads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it would include your roads, your sidewalks, your, you know, parking okay. garages. Yes.
Oh, well, you throw that in. Like, that is slightly different.
Well, your parking garage, it would be a building. Let me rephrase that. Parking lots, I'm sorry. I said garage, but I meant to say
okay.
lots.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So maybe this is a theoretical question for further thought. We're depreciating a significant number of assets, which basically gives us an accounting system. But, and this goes back to, I think, Jerry's ongoing discussion with us about we're taking the write-off, but we're not putting much money back into it to actually replace it. So we're writing off a couple million bucks a year, and we're putting in about a tenth of that, I think, and maybe half of that back in. Am I reading that right?
That is true. If you look at the bottom section, you'll see a governmental activities, and it says general government, public safety, total depreciation expense for governmental activities. That 8.465 is how much we depreciate every year for equipment and infrastructure and, yeah. Yeah, we're not matching what we're depreciating.
That's been Jerry's point for quite a while, I think.
Mind on.
Every year.
Yep.
Any other questions on this?
Okay. Again, take a look at this report. We'll figure out a day to talk with them again and digest what we have. We're adjourned.